Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Happy Friday and welcome to our broadcast. I'm Bill Shanks with Russell Brown here on this wet, cold, wintry day here in the state of Georgia. We hope you're doing okay and we'll stay off the road as much as you can this evening at least. It's going to be kind of bad out there, so be careful. We're not as used to the bad weather and the bad weather on the roads as some people that are up north, whether it's in North Georgia or north of there. So be very, very careful. We've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a little NFL football to talk about with the NFL games coming up on Saturday and Sunday, so we'll talk about that. We also have a little basketball to talk about with the Hawks in action tonight and on Sunday, and then Georgia and Georgia Tech playing tomorrow. We'll talk about that and Anthony Dasher later on this hour. Is the Stetson Bennett talk slowing down a little bit, you think?
I think so.
I still think it's a very low number of people. Most people are like, yeah, you're right, these people are crazy, so don't, you know, spend too much time on them. But still, it's kind of funny. JT Daniels and Jermaine Burton obviously sound like they are a package deal. We had a caller the other day say that, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. But maybe that's one time the dog vent was right. Both are California kids, and we didn't really understand why Jermaine Burton was going into the transfer portal. And then to hear last night that Lane Kiffin, the head coach at Ole Miss, had flown to Athens to meet with both JT Daniels and Jermaine Burton kind of made sense. The other school that had been mentioned, one of the other schools that had been mentioned for Jermaine Burton was LSU, but they don't really need a quarterback. And, you know, also Alabama, they really don't need a quarterback. So Ole Miss trying to replace Matt Corral, they do need a quarterback, it seems. So that combination would seemingly make sense in that regard to have those two go there. Still a shame that Jermaine Burton is leaving, but life goes on. You have to replace people. Stetson Bennett, I tell you, we had last week on our show Brent Rollins from UGASports.com, who does very good work. A lot of it I don't understand, but he had some new numbers today, Russ, that are kind of interesting to me. If you remove the outliers, highest and lowest graded game for both Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels from 2021 and 2020, here is their PFF college grade over the past two seasons. JT Daniels, 77.8. Stetson Bennett, 77.8. Also, listen to these comparisons of what Stetson Bennett did to improve from 2020 to 2021. Part of the reason why we were a little concerned about Stetson Bennett getting any significant playing time at the beginning of the year was because we did not know if he would get better. However, I think once he got the job after JT Daniels went down with the injury, number one, showed me his toughness by what happened in the Kentucky game. I mean, go find that clip. If you're saying, God, he keeps on bringing that up. If you've forgotten about that, go find that clip. I guarantee you it's on YouTube when he got his bell rung. But, you know, he didn't get his bell rung because he got right back up and went back to the huddle and played the next play. He showed his toughness right there. And in a situation where your competitor, who's not playing, is being questioned about his toughness, that kind of rang true. But listen to the improvement from 2020 to 2021. Overall grade. Now, don't ask me how this is calculated. That's above my pay grade. That's Brent Roll. Tweet at him. Overall grade, however, Stetson Bennett, 2020, 68.9. 2021, 83.8. You know, sometimes you don't need to understand what the numbers mean, but we are smart enough to know that 83.8 is a pretty good significance from 68.9, like 14.9 points. I would think that's showing improvement. Passing grade, 2020, 69.0. 2021, 78.2. accuracy percentage. Now, how they figure this up, I don't know. I don't really care. I don't really care to know. 2020, 53.8. 2021, 60.9. Uncatchable inaccurate. 2020, 24.5%. 2021, 17.6%. Anybody have any questions? I mean, again, we don't try to pretend like we know what a lot of analytical data is. I'm sure there are easy definitions that Annie from Chicago or Taylor from Athens or others probably know more than we do, Russ. You know what? 9's more than 8, and the overall grade of 83.8 is more than 68.9. And again, that's all I need to know.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, if you look at his 2021 numbers compared to JT Daniels, the average yards per attempt jumps out, which means he's pushing the ball down the field more. You know, it's just – I don't know what else people need. JT Daniels is a three-star, by the way, now. So
oh, there you go.
I don't know what else – that should – well
– should
you know,
do it.
That, it should, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
So JT Daniels is in the transfer portal as a three-star player, and that is kind of surprising that they would do that. They would make him a three-star player.
But Rod, you know, Rod McKenzie was on with me on Tuesday, and I asked him about that, and he said they do when a kid enters the portal, they reevaluate them as a player. This is what I've always said about recruiting rankings. It's a measure of what you did in high school, not what you will do in college.
So if JT's a three-star based on what he's done in college so far, what is Stetson Bennett?
It's a great question. I kind of joked earlier. I wish there was some way I could like float him some NIL dollars just to enter his name into the portal with no intention to transfer, you see, just to get that reevaluation to see what it would be.
I would think he would be a four-star. Three-star prospect into a four-star player, pretty good.
He's the third highest-rated player quarterback in the country this year.
Pretty good. Five-star quarterbacks are really, really elite. And no question, JT Daniels coming out of high school was a really elite prospect. I get it. But there's nothing to show you that he's an elite. Because part of the equation for being an elite player is that you have to stay healthy. Now, he's been unable to do that.
Right. And as a three-star quarterback, he can win a national championship because three-star quarterbacks can
That's
lead
right.
you to a national championship.
So Ole Miss has hope.
There you go.
Well, I don't think it's as big of a deal, perhaps, as we think it is. I think the lunacy of the percentage that do have problems with him coming back are what make it an even bigger deal than it is. If you polled 100 fans, and this is not a joke, if you polled 100 Georgia fans in a room, I think 95% of them are going to say, hell yeah, let's go. Let's take him. We're ready to go. Five who may be, you know, sipping on the Boone's Farm over in the corner of the room may say, well, JT might have been better.
Well, two of those would just scream, go Dogs. The other
That's
three
right.
would say JT's
That's
would be
right.
better.
That's right. You really just have a very low percentage. So, anyway, it's nothing like quarterback controversies, you know, and until Georgia gets another, as far as incoming, quarterback that's a slam dunk. But, you know, the lesson that was learned a couple of years ago from the Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm situation was very educational for a lot of people. Because you know what, Russ? And I think we said it at the time. Jacob Eason was a very highly rated quarterback. I don't think, and I don't know, of course, these services do not go back to 1991. They do go back to the late 90s. So like 98, 99, 2000, yes, at least rivals would have their rankings still, I think, in their system. I don't know if we'd be able to have access to it. But I would think, to be honest with you, the two quarterbacks that would come close to Jacob Eason would be Matthew Stafford and Quincy Carter. Probably even more so than DJ Shockley. Because Quincy Carter was a hell of a prospect coming out of Southwest DeKalb High School now. That was a stud. And he was a tremendous athlete. He played Cubs with the Cubs in the minor leagues, obviously, before he committed to football. Jacob Eason was a very highly rated quarterback and still couldn't keep his job because of an injury. Which, you know, that's the kind of competition that Kirby Smart likes to create. Yeah. It's and I don't think anybody likes to see, Russ,
a player lose her job because of injury. But you know what? Especially now with how competitive these spots are, not only from August through December or January, Russ, all 12 months of the year, you got people battling for spots so much. And now with players having some leverage that they didn't have in the past, there's even more competition. If you want to be at that school, where you got to be careful about an injury perhaps costing you your job, regardless of the position. And in a way, even though it was a little before the NIL situation, 5 years ago we learned that with Jacob Eason. Because if we probably heard, no matter what we thought about Jake Fromm locally here from seeing him at Houston County High School, that Jacob Eason, who was almost as heralded as Arch Manning, take Arch Manning's name and put Smith on it, and he's not related to the Mannings, Jacob Eason probably would be a higher-rated prospect 5-6 years ago, whenever it was. But obviously things are not like that, and Arch does have that last name, so that helps him a little bit. But there's no question he's a tremendous prospect, and in spite of who the heck he's been raised by, group of monkeys. But anyway, but Jacob was a tremendous prospect and lost his job to Jake Fromm, who went to South Bend, Indiana. And are you really going to take the job away from him after he went to South Bend, Indiana and beat Notre Dame? No. And Jacob wasn't ready until, what, 3 weeks later maybe? And then it was kind of obvious that the offense was doing very well with Jake Fromm. So to touch it's kind of a – and I think, you know, in hindsight, looking back, it was the same way with Kirby. He saw an improving quarterback from Stetson Bennett, who was no question better than he was a year ago. Because we got to remember now, August, it was JT, Carson, Stetson. That was the order of the quarterbacks at the University of Georgia on the depth chart, written down in ink from them. Stetson was third behind Carson Beck. And things changed when it was obvious that JT was going to miss time. What happened? Well, Kirby decided to go with Stetson. Give Jake Rowe credit because he came on in April of last year after spring practice. He said, well, you know, don't count on Stetson now. If there's an issue with injuries with JT, I think Stetson would still get a look. And I thought he was nuts. But I'm so happy for Stetson Bennett in so many right ways, but mainly because he got better. What do we talk about with player development, Russ?
Yeah.
That's it. And we saw that kid. Those numbers I just read prove it. He got better from 2020 to 2021, even though now he's 32 years old.
Well, I mean, even when he left the first time to go so he could play in community college. I mean, sure. That's what he's doing. He's getting better. He's getting reps. He's getting snaps. He's getting better. And, you know, even being – they were talking about in the national championship that he wasn't even on the depth chart for the Clemson game. So,
wow.
I mean, just the perseverance to stick with it. And, you know, his number gets called. And what's our man Kirkland like to say? I mean, he delivered.
He delivered.
I mean, he just did. So, yeah, you know, and a part of me hopes that we can move past this now. And then Stetson Bennett gets that moment as the quarterback now that he's won a national championship. I mean, I think he more than deserves that. I think he's earned it. But I have to be honest, there's a part of me that hopes this controversy continues into March because we had some really interesting conversations this week.
Yes. So,
but, you know, I think once the dust settles and all the whatever reaction people had from the news that came when JT entered the portal and then within minutes Stetson announced he was, you know, coming back to UGA, I think now that that's kind of the settled down a little bit. I mean, and then even the people, I think there's even people out there that will tell you that they prefer JT Daniels, but hey, he won the national championship. He's our quarterback. I mean, I don't, even people that may still think JT should be the quarterback or should have been the quarterback, I guess we have to say that in past tense now, aren't going to be like mad that Stetson's the quarterback. I mean, you can't be, right? He just won the national championship.
You think. But, you know, if he has a game where he throws two pick sixes and loses and JT's over there in Lane Kiffin's offense throwing 3,500 yards. You know, there's going to be some that are going to say that, but they shouldn't.
Sure.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't say anything, to be honest with you. It's just kind of a waste of breath. The coaching carousel continues to roll along here. I'm really surprised Derek Mason left or is leaving in the process of leaving Auburn to go to Oklahoma State. Jeff Schmetting is going to be promoted from linebacker coach at Auburn to be the defensive coordinator. They're also getting Jimmy Brumbaugh to come back to be their defensive line coach. He was a former Auburn player who was at Oregon last season. I think he was at Tennessee a couple years ago as well. But that means that after 1 year, Brian Harsin lost both coordinators, fired Mike Bobo, and Derek Mason departs. Should we read anything into that for sports talk show purposes?
Well, yeah, and there were rumors that Brian Harsin wanted to go back west. Mm-hmm. So you kind of put all that together, and it does make you wonder. I mean, I know they've got a lot of oil money over there at Oklahoma State, so maybe that had something to do with it too. But, yeah, for a first-year coach to lose both coordinators, it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Kendall Briles is staying at Arkansas. Arkansas is having a very good offseason so far. A lot of players in the transfer portal. They're keeping Kendall Briles. I think Sam Pittman has to feel like the momentum is positive coming from his season where he was very, very impressive in year two. And Kendall Briles is one that they would want to keep, and they did. He was being pursued by Miami to be their offensive coordinator, but he's staying in Fayetteville. Alabama's hiring Travaris Robinson as their new cornerback coach. And I said this on the radio, I think it was Wednesday, but I don't know which show it was, Chuck Oliver or Bill King, where they were talking about the defensive back / cornerback coach for Alabama and how that person just has to be a saint because of what they have to go through to put up with Nick. But the defensive back coach on any Nick Saban staff, and of course, who was it for many years? Kirby Smart, right? He was the DC and the defensive back coach. And, I mean, I think part of the reason why Kirby Smart's a tyrant right now is because he worked for one and obviously saw it work, and it's working now. And from all the indications, Kirby's a tyrant, which, you know, I don't give a damn. He's won a national championship. I don't care if he's waterboarding them for joy on Tuesdays after practice, for all I care. Keeps on winning. But Travaris Robinson is a former D.C. at Florida and South Carolina under Will Muschamp, and he was being mentioned as a possibility for Georgia, but he's a great recruiter. And, you know, those Alabama people, and yes, I'm talking about them right here on the radio, they throw their coaches under the bus quicker than anybody I know. Have you? And I don't know if you heard the guy earlier on, Chuck Oliver. Did you hear him by any chance?
Mm-mm.
I mean, this Jay Valai, or however you pronounce his name, I mean, it's always his fault. I mean, it's always, who's the D.C. that they were blaming earlier this year? I mean, then there were people saying that he was going to fire Bill O'Brien. Why would he fire Bill O'Brien? Give me a break. I mean, Alabama just is the fans, though.
No,
because as soon as they lose, they talk about firing somebody on that damn coaching staff.
Yeah.
Every time, don't they?
Yep.
After the A&M game, who was the D.C.?
Golding. Pete Golding.
Pete Golding. Pete Golding was dirt after that A&M game. And I'm like, what the hell did Pete Golden have to do with it for Grand L.A.? Give me a break, because Texas A&M played a great – you have to play a great game to beat Alabama. Sometimes teams do that. That don't mean you fire half your coaching staff. And there's normal – you know, I'm sure there's a – Kirby, I'm sure – I don't even have to look this up, Russ. I'm sure Kirby stayed longer with Nick than anybody else. But,
oh, yeah.
But, you know, they got along. And, I mean, after the game, Nick Saban said, I love Kirby. Well, that's obvious. You know, they got along very well.
Well, he had a smile on his face when they shook hands at midfield. I mean, because in that moment, I mean, I know he's disappointed with losing the championship game, but, I mean, Kelly Ringo's interception gave him plenty of time to process that, so he had a chance to just, you know, he's proud of his guy.
Yeah. He is. I'm sure even though he was bitterly disappointed, doesn't matter that if he was supposed to be there or not because of young team, he wanted to win. There's no question about that, but he had to feel like there was some pride there deep down for Kirby that, you know, okay, and that's not easy to do, to have or to say, but I'm sure he was happy in a way that Kirby won his national championship. But, you know, I don't doubt any comment or report about how tough it is to work for Nick Saban, and nor will about Kirby Smart. I think Kirby can be a jerk. I don't care. You know, Russ and you and I aren't working for him, so why do we care?
Right.
As long as he wins.
I mean, well, if he wants to throw $1 million my way, I'll coordinate his defense.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And be beaten down like a...
That's fine. And in 3 years, I'll, you know, go somewhere else. It'll be fine. I'll have $3 million in my pocket. I think it'll be worth it.
No kidding.
It works. I mean, it just works.
Okay.
And And, you know, and another part of it, too, it used to be you got to keep your assistant coaches. You got to keep your assistants. That's what successful programs do. It's just not that way anymore. I mean, it'd be nice to have continuity, but the reality of it is people are going to be attracted to these jobs for their resume, and then they're going to want to turn around and go be a head coach somewhere. I mean, you look at that factory, if you will. Kirby Smart's a head coach. Mel Tucker's a head coach. Dan Lanning's a spinoff of that now. He's a head coach. Butch Jones is a head coach. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on.
That's
and
right.
So,
somebody asked today, I think on the Bill King show, he asked him if Dan Mullen was on campus.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. No question. Because if anybody needs rehabbing, it's Dan Mullen. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little NFL. Are the Falcons playing this weekend?
No.
We'll still talk a little NFL. Playoffs are this weekend, and it's kind of cool. So we'll do that for about 10 minutes, then we'll talk with our man Anthony Dasher at the bottom of this hour. With Russ Brown and Bill Shanks, you're listening to The Bill Shanks Show.
This is Sports Radio 93.1 WXKO, the superstations.com.